This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah
on ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Welcome in to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We'll talk Bears football in just a couple of minutes. Why is the national perception on the Bears so down this offseason? We'll hear from Jeff Dickerson in just a couple minutes, but we may have breaking news in baseball. Is there a new latest piece of information coming out from baseball reporters on what's taking place around baseball? Will they get back to play? Is it a John Heyman? Is he tweeting information? Do we have breaking news at this moment?
Mildly positive baseball news. Very mild, according to John Heyman. Very mild.
Hold on.
If you've got salsas, if you're looking at salsas, you've
spicy.
Got hot, spicy, hot, medium.
There's like death spicy, too.
We're just going to go with the pace picante.
No, but there's the skull and pace picante.
And then what about the one that the little news, the spicy news where it's like in the little droplet where you have to take out special, you have to wear special gloves and put on goggles to bring it out?
It's not that hot.
Oh, so it's mild.
So there's hot, medium, mild.
So mild's below medium.
This is very mild. So
very
like maybe
so it's watered down.
It's halfway between mild and medium, I guess.
Well, you started to read the tweet, and now once he's given us that, I kind of feel like we shouldn't even read the tweet now.
Mildly positive. Well, it's a tweet, so it's only a few characters. Like I can't. It's not going to take me long.
Wasting our time.
Like the me talking about
these
it.
Baseball reporters are wasting all of our time.
Me
now.
Talking about it has taken more time than if I would have just like my little salsa analogy has taken more time.
Well, to be honest,
just reading it.
It's probably better than whatever this tweet is, because now all the baseball writers are wasting all of our time.
Mildly positive baseball news, very mild, in parenthesis.
Uh-huh.
If a season is mandated by the commissioner, as allowed by the March 26th agreement, it wouldn't be for just 48 games. I hear the number of games would start with a 5.
Oh, get out of here. That's the tweet? Are you serious? Heyman just wasted our time with that.
It would start with a 5.
Hold on. Hold up. His tweet is that I have mildly positive news, and the news is I'm hearing the season won't be 48 games, but it will start with a 5.
Well, okay.
I have to put on a decoder ring to figure out how many games this baseball season is going to be?
Well, here's what's going to happen, right? So the owners are going to put out another proposal on Monday.
That's the
tomorrow.
News. That's his tweet.
And ideally,
baseball's wasting our time.
What's going to happen is hopefully smarter minds, these owners aren't stupid, right? They're not rich because they're dumb, right? They're rich because they're good with money. They're rich because, you know, they're very successful in business endeavors, real estate, whatever they're doing, right?
Mild news.
They're not stupid. So it would be in their best interest, after seeing all of the hate being spewed towards baseball in general on Twitter today, it'd be in their best interest to say 56 games, full salary, see you on July 14th. That's when opening day will take place. That would be that would be in their best interest, right? If tomorrow you get Carl Ravitch has been all over these owners' proposals. You get an early morning tweet from a Carl Ravitch as he's sipping his coffee, and he says, "Sources telling me 56 games, full prorated salary, starting July 14th or July 10th or whatever it is. Spring training 2.0 starts June 21st or I'm just throwing dates out of my I'm just picking dates out of the air now. June 21st or whatever, and it's 3 weeks long, and then baseball starts." That would be in their best interest, right? Because then on Monday morning, tomorrow, everybody gets to say, how great was that Sosa doc yesterday? How great was the Mark McGwire? And guess what? Real baseball news. They're playing ball again. Get your mitt, little Billy. Get your little hat. Sit down in front of the TV. You're watching ball.
What? There's nothing to watch right now. Wouldn't he take his mitt and hat and go outside and
have a catch? But make sure you're back inside on July 14th.
A long
toss? Because that's when we're playing baseball. That's when you get to see your favorite, the opening day little
ceremony.
You know, No, you know, like on the sides of the field where they run out of the dugout?
Yeah.
It shouldn't say opening day. It should just say effing finally.
Yeah,
it should be like, one side should say finally, and the
about
other side,
time.
Fourth time. Yeah, the third baseline should say it's about damn time.
Can you read that tweet again since we have mild breaking news?
I was responding to people on Twitter.
From the baseball
You and I like to multitask.
Yeah, I was responding to... Fully interactive on the show.
I was responding to Nick, our friend on Twitter, about the good question. Okay, mildly positive...
Hold on, We will get to Bears in just a moment. But mild news from baseball. Go ahead.
Very mild.
Yes.
Very mild. Yes. So, like, if you don't like spice... You don't like
me?
You don't like
I
heat.
I like spice.
You don't like heat.
What are you talking
you
about?
You like
Where are you from?
You don't like we live together. The most spice you like is a Heinz 57. That's
what?
The most spice you get.
You're
Tyler's
drunk.
Loving that.
But it's not true.
A mild teriyaki is the most
what?
Spice you like in your life. You're like, "Ooh, it's a little too hot for me." Ooh, I've been out with you. To eat chips and guac and salsa.
I like spicy salsa.
A little bit. Not as...
I had some spicy salsa with some quesadillas last night.
A what?
Quesadilla. Go ahead.
Not in this climate. So what John Heyman is saying, mildly positive baseball news, very mild. If a season is mandated by the commissioner, as is allowed by the March 26th agreement... It wouldn't be for just 48 games. I hear the number of games would start with a 5.
So many people are tweeting us, Nick including, suggesting
5-game season.
So your calls, 312-332-3776, Cubs and White Sox fans, 5-game season, Major League Baseball. How do you think it's going to play out? Let's go to Ben in Austin, Texas, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Ben?
Oh, hey, guys.
What's going on?
I was going to call, not much. Morning.
Good morning.
I was going to talk about Sammy.
Go ahead.
But
you can talk about Sammy. You don't have to answer the stupid five-game season
it's
question
floor,
I threw
Ben.
Out there.
You
that
talk
was a
about
joke.
Whatever you want
yeah,
to talk
go for
about.
It. It's all you.
No, I think I sent you guys that tweet, so I think that's honestly hilarious that they're like, this is their big news to like save face after the weekend. They're like, wait, we're going to give you guys 51 games. And everybody should be so happy about baseball that we're coming back. Don't regard like all the hard work the NBA and the NHL did. Don't compare us to them. We're going to come back with 51 games, and it's all going to be cool. So, I don't know. I'm still going to watch it, but it puts in perspective their management and like interaction between the owners and the teams versus those other leagues, like pretty glare, you know, so
oh, yeah.
much.
Like, yeah, absolutely. You wanted to talk about Sosa,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think, like, there's so much positive, I think there's positive, like, momentum for Sammy, for, like, Cubs fans on social and stuff that you guys probably see a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think this is going to be a good, this is going to put Sammy in a good light, at least in the fact that, like, that year was so entertaining. I don't know, like, the full scope of it. They're going to, like, bash him for steroids, but I think it's going to come out like everyone's going to like leave that documentary being happy that was such a fun year and like Sammy was a great Cub. So I don't know, he'll never make the Hall of Fame. Like you said, he got like 14% of votes last year,
right?
But the least they could do is maybe this is just another step in the right direction for like him to, you know, be welcome back for the fans and for him. Seems like he would really like that. And I was like 7 when that was going on. It was a great time. It was awesome. I mean, summer of 98, Sammy Sosa, 60-something home runs. Mark McGwire was great.
Yeah, it absolutely was. Thanks for the call, Ben. We appreciate it. And, you know, to that point with Sosa, like, I agree with Ben. I feel like the majority of people look at Sammy Sosa and say, why isn't he involved with the Chicago Cubs in some fashion? Barry Bonds works for the San Francisco Giants. Mark McGwire works in baseball as a coach. Like, all of these players have roles within teams, and they have been accepted back except for Sammy Sosa. And to Ben's point, it seems like the only person who's really against this is Tom Ricketts. It seems like everyone, like, yeah, we do get some calls who say, yeah, Sosa cheated, they shouldn't welcome him back. But the majority of calls, just by eyeballing it, are positive. The majority is positive towards Sosa returning. It seems like the person who is against it is Tom Ricketts.
Well, he keeps saying that Sammy owes the Cubs an apology. An apology for what? Like, why? I don't understand why Tom Ricketts feels slighted by Sammy Sosa. You know, like, he wants more of an apology from Sammy Sosa than he gave for his dad's bad emails. You know what I mean?
Well, like, right. And, like, he's and not, what we saw from his brother weeks ago, right?
I don't like, Sammy Sosa never did anything personal to you, like, if we don't, that we know of. I don't know if Sammy Sosa ever stiffed, maybe didn't give him an autograph one year when he was walking by him or something like that, or he ruined his time in the bleachers where he met his wife. Like, listen, Sammy Sosa gave you some of the best memories ever as a Cubs fan until they won the World Series. So, well, what does he need to apologize to you for? What does he need to apologize for? He came out and he worked every day. So when he left the game, he left the game earlier. He left before the game started once. Big deal. People have done worse.
Well, and let me throw this out there.
He corked his bat? Or he played with a cork bat?
Like, I get we all assume something. But what if Sosa never actually used steroids?
I don't, look.
I disagree with that stance, but yeah. what if that was the actual truth?
It was never proven. He never failed a test.
And you know, like, other players have come out and spoken about it.
Mm-hmm.
He refuses to. Now, that, to me, is pretty glaring, pointing to someone who probably did something they refuse to talk about, right? Like, but maybe the truth is he never did. I don't know. The whole thing is just...
I don't think he owes anybody an apology. What is he supposed to do? I apologize? I'm sorry?
I'm sorry I hit all those dingers?
Yeah. I'm sorry I saved your sport. I'm sorry I put butts in your seats.
Yeah, I mean, it just 98 was so cool, and they should have him in the fold promoting the brand, the Chicago Cubs.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's talk about this real quick. We were listening to the good question submissions from this last week. Carmen asked a question to Jeff Dickerson about the national perception of the Chicago Bears in this offseason. Why do so many look at the Bears and suggest that they might be one of the worst teams in the NFL? Why are so many national outlets picking the Bears to be like 25th best team and below? There are a lot of teams or a lot of news outlets who are suggesting that. Here's Jeff Dickerson responding to Carmen's question on why the national perception of the Bears is so low.
Here's why, and it's a great question, Carm. Honestly, Europe, we've talked about this a lot with my colleagues who cover the NFL nationally, of course. Look, this is why. There's no quarterback right now.
I guess that's it.
And I think Nick Foles can do a good job here. I really do. However, let's be honest, guys. I mean, his career has been quite up and down. I mean, it's not like this is a sure thing. It's not like you're signing a young Patrick Mahomes to take over here. I mean, this has got some risk to it. And then the other guy is the other guy who,
please,
who I think most people are pretty down on. And then what you have to understand is the Bears have missed the playoffs 8 out of the last 9 years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not this great pedigree. There's not this great track record. I know that everyone in Chicago every year feels like, okay, it's time for renewed optimism and everything, but people nationally just, they don't see it, and they don't see an offense that got appreciably better in the offseason. They see the same offensive line. They see the same question marks at tight end. They don't know what to think. So when you don't know what to think, your general inclination is you think the worst before thinking the best. I think that's why most people believe the Bears will be in the lower tier of the league this season.
That's Jeff Dickerson. I'm with Carmen and Yurko. Let me ask you this coming up next, Abdallah. Are national reporters in the right to have doubt with this Bears team in 2020? We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Perception of the Chicago Bears is low, but they were 8-8 last season. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be right now, so I get it, uncertainty, but the defense is pretty good. I think the 8-8 thinking that their lowest point could be 7 wins, I think that's realistic. I feel as if too many people around the country are looking at the Chicago Bears as a team that's only Mitch Trubisky, and thus they're one of the worst teams in the National Football League. Does that make sense? Like, they're not looking at the full picture of what this team is, and they're only looking at the inability for Trubisky to go downfield as the reason why this might be one of the worst teams in football.
Well, the problem is, Chris, having a great defense and having a Super Bowl caliber defense, what has that gotten them in the last 2 years? Like, they've had the best defense, and they've had a top 10 defense the last 2 years. And where has it gotten them? It got them to the first round of the playoffs, and they got bounced because of a field goal, because the offense couldn't do anything in the first half. And then Trubisky, and then the truthers will say, oh, he had a great, you know, Trubisky played well in the second half when, it, you know, where was he in the first half? So to me, yes, you can say a lot about having a really good defense, and they are a Super Bowl caliber defense. Like, this team, if they had any offense, they'd be people's Super Bowl pick this year. But ultimately, because the inability to progress on offense, the regression that happened last year with Trubisky and Matt Nagy, and not really adding anything to the offense besides Nick Foles, who was benched last year, who got hurt and then came back, and they ended up trading him. Ultimately, what else have they added? Like, you can't tell me that, okay, you've got a great defense, and then what?
They drafted a tight end, Cole Kmet.
You brought in Nick Foles, and then what?
They signed Ted Ginn Jr.
You brought in Nick Foles, and then what?
They.
So because they haven't shown you the ability to do anything with this great defense, and this defense is great. Don't get me wrong. Great defense.
Yeah.
But you're right. Uh-huh. 7 wins, 8 wins, that seems about right, and that seems to be where the national perspective is, if not worse, because I've seen worse. I've seen 4 wins. I've seen five wins.
But that's that. My point is, people in the national media are looking at the Bears suggesting that they're one of the worst teams in the NFL. That's highly unlikely in my Chris Black projections for this football season. Mm-hmm. I feel like them going, the Bears going with 4 wins or 3 wins or even 5 wins is so unlikely just because of what you laid out. The defense has been so good and the offense serviceable at times, especially with a new quarterback, might be serviceable enough to be at least 500, if not better than that point. So, like, I just don't get where other people are getting the 3 wins.
Okay, well,
Chicago
let me ask
Bears.
You this. Where do the crisp projections have the Vikings?
What'd you call it?
The crisp projections.
I think the Vikings are probably the best team in the division.
Okay, how about the Packers?
They're probably
Give
the second
wins.
Best
let's,
team.
Let's just do wins.
Sorry, I had to calculate.
Yeah.
The Vikings give me they're an 11-win team.
Okay, Packers, projections.
10-win team.
The Bears.
9-win team.
The Lions.
They're probably a 6-win team.
Okay, so based on the projections, now you're no 538, but whatever.
I don't even have a website.
You don't. You have a Twitter. You have an Instagram. So based on your projections, the Bears are going to be a third-place team and probably miss the playoffs.
Well,
unless they're in the hunt. And they
there's
get
an
that,
extra team?
Exactly.
And we've seen before where multiple teams from one division can get to the playoffs.
Okay,
last year there was a scenario where at one point the 49ers, Seahawks, and Rams were all in contention to make the playoffs. And if we take this new seeding into account from last year, all three of those teams from the NFC West would have made the playoffs. The Rams would have been a playoff team last season.
No, I get that. And also, if you look at this year too, like, are the Bucs a playoff team?
I'm not sold on that because I always think that the offseason hype doesn't actually lead to anything in the NFL. Let me put this in.
Are the Cowboys a playoff team?
Yeah, I think the Cowboys are.
Okay,
yeah.
Are the Eagles a playoff team again?
Yeah, the Eagles probably. Yeah, there's a lot of playoff teams.
Are the Cardinals a playoff team?
You're pointing out there's a flaw in the system.
That are playoff teams than there are playoff spots. And it looks to me that the Bears might be left out if they're an 8 or 9 win team.
Let's go from the bottom up, though.
Okay.
The teams that are really bad in the NFC, there's an extra blip in there because we're looking at the bad teams. It's a different algorithm. The really bad teams in the NFC, give me the Washington Football Club and give me the Lions.
The Panthers?
No, not sold on that.
Really?
5-11 last season. They have a starting quarterback now. New head coach, Matt Rhule, who's been successful everywhere he's gone at really bad programs. I think the Panthers are one of those teams that's going to be
defense, though.
Surprisingly
it's
around
a young
500.
Defense. Not it's a young team, defense.
Surprisingly above
okay,
the number
Okay, so that's what
Vegas.
I'm saying. Okay, but
but they're not going to be really bad. The really bad teams, it's Washington and Detroit. That's
okay.
It. Who but, else is really bad in the NFC?
So there's going to be a lot of teams.
The Cardinals will not be really bad. Could the Falcons be really bad?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Listen, my point is this.
Bad is much higher than it usually is.
Okay. So there's a lot of hunters, not a lot of meat out there to be hunted for.
Yeah. When we're looking at the schedule in the NFC from week to week, when we want to gamble and we're looking for those teams that are really bad, especially halfway through the season when we know that they've given up.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of that in the NFC. I just don't.
Okay, but because of that, there's going to be even more teams in the hunt. There's going to be the need to win more games. Yeah. I think you're going to get double-digit teams. You're going to get a team like the Bears that may win 9 games and not make the playoffs because the Packers and the Vikings might be better than them.
I totally agree.
Okay.
I'm not sold that they're a playoff team, but I am sold that they're not going to be a 5-win team.
But I can understand.
That's out of the projections.
But I can see a situation where the offense isn't clicking. They, for some reason.
Okay, but let's address this then. How is the offense not going to click with a guy who can actually make the throws?
Well.
Hold on. Go back to what was the sole problem to why this offense doesn't work.
What weapons
with Trubisky?
Nick Foles have besides Allen Robinson?
When we're in the game and the dude can't throw downfield, so the defense is stacked within 5 to 10 yards, and they know the only passes that Trubisky's going to throw are sideways to the line of scrimmage,
okay,
and he's not actually going to stretch the field. How different is that going to look when there's a quarterback who occasionally throws it past the line of scrimmage? It's going to be different. When he's throwing the passes that Matt Nagy wants thrown in the offense, the offense will look different. Yes, I agree with you. The weapons are not upgraded. I got you on that. But Allen Robinson's probably a top 5 wide receiver.
Okay.
They have a couple of decent players offensively.
Okay.
They hopefully have a tight end who can catch now, okay, if not two. So you look at the whole picture, now a quarterback who can actually make some of the throws, not all of them, and not even at a Pro Bowl, elite level, all pro level. Just some of the throws. Making some of the throws is better than what we've seen in the past. How can you not think that this is going to be improved?
But are they better than the Vikings?
No, probably not.
They're better than the Packers?
Probably not.
Okay, then.
But they're not going to be a 5-win team.
I never said they're going to be a 5-win team. I think they're going to be an 8- or 9-win team. But I can understand where people are coming from. I can understand that if you believe that this is Mitchell Trubisky's job to lose, and they do end up starting Trubisky, why people believe that this could be a 5-win team. Because if they get out of the gates and they start 0-3, 0-4, the defense starts to give up a little bit. They're not playing through every snap.
Well,
let
me
ask
you
what I mean?
They start 0-3. Who's the quarterback that gets them to 0-3?
It's Trubisky.
So he starts the season, loses the first 3 games,
mm-hmm,
then Nick Foles comes in. That doesn't lose the team. What will lose the team is if Nick Foles comes in and from the jump 0-3? Is 0-3, right?
Okay.
But I don't think that's something that would happen.
I don't think so either. They start with the Lions, Giants, and Falcons. Those are 3 games they can win.
Yeah.
So I think they can start 3-0 and be fine.
Right.
And, you know, you haven't factored in the point of how pissed Trubisky is.
I don't care.
He's pissed, Chris.
Who cares?
He's pissed. He's pissed. He's got the man in the arena quotes behind him. He's pissed.
Listen, he's pissed. It's a fantastic quote.
Dude.
Something that
Teddy.
I'm aware of the quote. I feel like it's very It's very notable for people who like work in an industry like ours. When we have random trolls coming at us all the time, they don't know what this is or how to do it or any of that. So I get it.
You want me to read it to you?
No, I'm with Trubisky. I get it. The man in the arena. I understand. I love that quote.
I got a great.
We don't have the time.
I got a great framed picture of it on Etsy right now. I can get it for $11.99.
I know. Yes, I'm aware.
What about? I'm surprised that he didn't have the cat picture behind him
hanging in there
and hanging in there. That's what I was hoping he would have.
Like, who cares that he's pissed?
He's pissed. Wait. He's like the kid that gets so angry he cries.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Pissed.
It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Thank you to Tyler Aki for producing today's show. Xander Huebner coming up next. From 10 to noon right here on ESPN 1000. Black and Abdallah with you right here on ESPN 1000. Listen to the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. You can find the Black and Abdallah section right there on the ESPN Chicago podcast. You can also find our podcast on Spotify, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Search for Black and Abdallah. So we talked about it on Friday night. The story has developed throughout the weekend. Kyrie Irving led a call on Friday night with NBA players to voice concerns over returning in this NBA season. And when we kind of look at the whole thing, it sounds as if Kyrie wanted to voice his opinion, which is great, but it does sound like the NBA is listening to what the players are suggesting and what they're concerned about returning to play, and that the NBA and the Players Association will work together to figure out a timeline to get back and actually play this season. I don't think we are going to see the same issues that we've been seeing between baseball and their owners and their Players Association.
Yeah, Mark Stein tweeted that a quote from NBA spokesman Mike Bass on the worries the players have raised about diverting attention away from the Black Lives Matter movement by resuming the season. We understand the players' concerns and are working with the Players Association on finding the right balance to address them, and how this is a big week for the NBA to try to address these issues and how they're going to play and still address these issues. And you and I were talking about it on Friday night, and Sam Amick wrote about it, about LeBron and how LeBron has done so much for social movements. He's opened a school. He created a voter suppression organization to fight voter suppression after what we saw take place in Georgia earlier this week. You know, you've got on ESPN, we are watching tonight a Sunday night baseball game, right? We should be watching a Sunday night baseball game. We're watching a documentary about baseball. On Friday night, when you and I were in here, they were running Free Solo. The Friday night before
It's a great documentary.
They were running...
It's about rock climbing.
It is.
What's not to like?
Edge of your seat stuff.
Seriously, when I watched it the first time, palms sweaty. Mom spaghetti.
Get out of here. The Friday before that, Air Bud was on.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you notice are you noticing a theme here?
A lack of programming.
And I think that my personal beliefs obviously defer with Steven Jackson's beliefs, as he tweeted out a video, and Kyrie Irving's beliefs, as he stated on this call, is that I believe that there is a way to do both. There is a way. LeBron is smart enough and calculated enough and does everything with purpose that he can find a way, and other players can find a way that are coming out that are saying we can find a way to do both. We can continue to have the race conversation. We continue to support Black Lives Matter and all of these movements while also using our platform for basketball. They're using their platform to play basketball, but use that platform of basketball, of the playoffs, of having games on national TV, having a full playoffs, playing the NBA finals. If we're talking about not having eyes on sports, you don't think people are going to watch meaningful basketball playoff games over regular season baseball games? People are still going to watch baseball. But the majority of people will still be watching the NBA playoffs. They're going to watch LeBron and Anthony Davis and all these superstars play basketball. And that is where you can use your platform for good. Instead of having Air Bud on TV, you could be having LeBron getting this message out and other players getting their messages out instead of running Major League 3.
Well, and let's call it what it is. Brian Windhorst was on with Darnie Mell yesterday, and nobody knows LeBron better than Brian Windhorst. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows Kyrie Irving better than Brian Windhorst. He covered those Cavs teams. He knows the behind the scenes. Here's Windy on with Darnie Mell yesterday.
I don't think he's an established leader because I think his focus oftentimes shifts dramatically. And I say this having studied him and learned a lot about him and listened to him over the last decade. So while I think his message is very important, I'm not sure that he is the type of person that can lead this movement. And not only that, I do believe that there are incredibly opportunistic ways to use the platform that will be there for the players in Orlando to do so much more positive messaging than any sort of boycott. And if Kyrie or other players feel that not going enables them individually to further their goals or this message, that's certainly possible. I do not anticipate that this will be something that a large swath of players participate in.
Windhorst continues on Kyrie.
If you've gotten to know Kyrie or listen to him, or even listen to him go through a 10 or 15 minute conversation, you will see that he routinely goes down 5 or 6 or 8 or 12 or 37 avenues. And again, it's not to take away any of them, not to say that one isn't important than the other, but he's a little bit shifting. And so, again, it's sometimes hard to listen to Kyrie and sort of think that he's going to push through on something and not completely change to something else shortly thereafter. So I think his input is valuable. And as somebody who speaks to so many fans, I think that people should take stock in it. But I just don't think that Kyrie is designed to be the leader of a movement.
Here are the power players to watch in the NBA. LeBron James, Chris Paul. Chris Paul is the head of the Players Association. He's their president. LeBron James is the most important entity in all of the NBA. Watch what those two say and do, because that's what's going to be important here. Kyrie, like Windhorst says, we appreciate the input. But again, this is coming from a guy who for weeks was telling the world that the earth was flat. So yeah. Like his ideas sometimes go in different directions, and then he backtracks.
Yeah, I mean, listening to Brian Windhorst try to describe Kyrie Irving for the layman, it's basically the dude that's trying to tell you to expand your mind, open up your third eye.
Right.
You know, where there's
some of the thoughts are great.
Some of the thoughts are great, but he's also trying to tell you there's a universe where we play, there's a universe where we don't play, there's a universe where we play some of the games, there's a universe where they want you to play, there's a universe where they don't want you to play. You know, it's probably Illuminati, man. Do you know about the Illuminati? Have you read up about the Illuminati? Expand your mind, dude. Open that third eye. You know what that third eye is? It's on your dog. Show me a dollar bill. You know why that?
I don't.
You know
I'm
why
not that, carrying cash.
You know why
right
the
now.
Eye is on?
I don't.
Your,
I don't
you
have
know
any
why
cash
the
on
eye,
me.
You know why? Look at the pyramids and the dollar bill.
But I have no cash.
But look
on
at
me,
go
on my
find
person.
A dollar bill. Look at the pyramids and the dollar bill. Look
I've
at
seen
the pyramids.
There's an eye in there.
Look at the pyramids.
Is that what he's talking about?
Look at the pyramids in Egypt. Look at the pyramids in Egypt. The
How
Sphinx,
did they get there?
The Sphinx doesn't have a nose. You want to know why the Sphinx doesn't have a nose? Think about that, man. Think about that. When you hieroglyphics,
that is who Kyrie is.
When you see hieroglyphics, they're always to the side. They're only showing you one eye. You know why? It's that third eye. Expand it. Expand your mind, man.
Nothing
read
with
up.
The 2D, 3D?
No. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, bro. Read up.
I mean, that's who Kyrie Irving is.
Yes.
And like, so I could see some players being like, wow, Kyrie is really, really woke here. Wow, he's leading the way. And then I could see Chris Paul being like, okay, that's a bunch of nonsense. This is what we're doing, and this is why we're doing it, because it's important.
And LeBron, there's a way to do both. LeBron's like, you're going to have a gigantic platform with everybody watching. I can't think of a better way to use that platform than to get your message out there using it.
Black and Abdallah, we'll be back on Tuesday night. Talk to you then.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.